Then you hear praises of two different folks getting saved, and it reminds you what it's all about, doesn't it? And so let's read the passage here, and we're going to jump right into it. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about or compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." And so as we think about this, we think about our focus in life. Many times folks get off track and major things happen in their life and problems come into their life and they don't finish well because they lose their focus. The word focus means this: a central point of attraction, attention, or activity. What is your mindset on? What is your life about? What is your activity on? You know, what are we focused on? What gets all your attention? What are you spending all your time on? What's in other words, what's important to you? Is it all about us, or is it all about him? So I ask us tonight, as we think about this, where's your focus? In University of Oregon, and I can't pronounce this guy's name, so I'm not even going to, but he was a runner for them in a track meet. He had a strong lead over the second place guy. And just before he got to the finish line, just a few yards from the finish line, he starts raising his hands and waving to the crowd and starts slowing down. And all the while he's doing that, the second place guy is just making ground on catching up. And the second place guy ended up winning by 1/10 of a second because the first place guy lost his focus. He forgot what it's all about. I was reading today about college recruitment and how recruiters, which is a little bit shocking considering how players are today, that they're still interested in their personal lives and their attitudes and the things they do outside of sports. And so what they do now with social media being so prominent, they'll look at their Facebook pages and their Twitter statements and all of these things. And I think some of it too has to, you know, involves things that they, with statements they make, what might be bringing it back onto the college someday if they take these guys on. And one of the football coaches said this. He says, "It's just insane what some of them think's okay." He said, "When I know it's them and I read it, I see some of the things out there. If I'm on the road, I'll call a coach," talking about a high school coach that they're looking at to recruit this young man. And he said, "I'll call them on the road as soon as I see it and say, we're no longer interested. We don't want to talk to them anymore." He said, "Matter of fact, I don't call them. I don't text them. I don't send them any more emails. They're removed from our database and there's no more nothing with them." What happens to these folks is they lose their focus. They forget what they're supposed to be doing. They forget that there's people looking at their lives and everything they do is counting toward what their goal, their end goal is. And they lose their focus. Paul compares our Christian life, compares it to a race. But spiritually, he tells us to stay focused on the goal, on the prize, on the end results. He lets us know that there's things that can distract us in this life and even destroy us and keep us from finishing well. How many of us know, and you don't have to raise your hand, but how many know of folks that they started out great, maybe they even had a long ministry, but they didn't finish very well? Matter of fact, they finished really bad. It doesn't mean necessarily that person's not saved anymore, but it does mean they didn't finish their life very well. And really, we think about these things. What are we really remembered for? Right? I've been to funerals where the preacher will talk about it, and they're right that the person has already preached their funeral with their life. You can say all you want, pretend that things are great or whatever. And I've been to funerals where it was obvious the family knew how that person was. They knew the details of their life, and the preacher's up there talking about how wonderful they are, and they're just kind of biting their lip. And, you know, we're remembered for not only how we begin, how we live our lives, certainly all those things, but also how we finish well. And if we don't keep our focus on the right things, we can really mess up, can't we? We can really blow it in this Christian life, in this race. So let's think about tonight, what do we do to keep our focus? Let's talk about following God's pattern. The first thing we want to think about first, though, is we need to refuse to be distracted. There's things out there that can distract us, right? So the first thing could be, and I just made a list of a few things, friends and family, right? Friends and family in the Christian life can be distracted. Now, lest we get too despairing and too, you know, down in the mouth about, you know, whatever, there's times that we need our friends and family. That they come along and they encourage us, and when we're down, they lift us up and they keep us going in the race. But there's times that friends and family can be a discouragement, can't they? They don't understand why you're doing what you're doing. They don't understand why you're living the way you're living. You get saved and all of a sudden your old friends that you hung out with, they can't figure out why in the world you won't go out with them anymore. They can't figure out why you won't hang with them. They want to pull you from things. Even sometimes family can be that way, right? You're torn between ministry and family, and they don't understand why all of a sudden you're spending all this time at the church house. Why you're trying to serve God, and why are you teaching that class? And in your mind, you know that's your ministry. That's the thing that God has given you. You don't. Could somebody else teach that children's church class while you're gone? Sure. But you don't want them to do that. That's your ministry. That's what God's given you. We won't be a part of that. But family doesn't always understand that, do they? Friends don't always. And sometimes, especially, I think about the bus kids and out on visitation and different things that we see of folks that start coming to our church and they're newly saved and all that sort of thing. Sometimes the hardest ones, the biggest distractions, are their own family. I've watched families over the years just pull so hard on someone that they literally pull them out. They keep them from serving God, and you would think they'd want them to serve God. Some of them, they'd been in trouble before they got saved, and their life was a wreck. Now they're saved, they're wanting to do what's right, and they're pulling them away from it. And you just can't understand it other than that their life's clouded by sin and their judgment's clouded. But let's think about just for a minute some folks that were, just a couple folks that were, had to deal with some family. Ruth was one of those kind of people, one of those people, wasn't she? I just had a statement here. You know, we think about Ruth and here her mother-in-law Naomi, and here these two girls are, and they marry her sons, and the two sons die, and the dad has died, and now she's going back, and she won't take these girls with them. They're crying and they're begging her to come with her, and she doesn't want them to go. Matter of fact, she says this. She says, "Behold thy sister-in-law." She's already talked to her sister-in-law into going back. She says, she's going back unto her people and unto her gods. She's going back to idols, and she says this, "Return thou after thy sister-in-law." Of course, we know she was so bitter and angry that it was clouding her judgment. But here's this, her mother-in-law, the lady that she's trying to follow, who's her example, is pushing her as hard as she can right back to the world. And Ruth says this, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people." And more importantly, she says, "And thy God, my God." She had more of a desire to serve God at that point than her mother-in-law did. Jonathan dealt with family, didn't he? Absolutely. You know, Jonathan, I think of this, Jonathan is an amazing young man. He lived his entire life following after the will of God when he knew that the will of God was not what the world would say he deserved. Because he deserved to be king. He was next in line, but God said, no, And in spite of getting bitter and angry and upset like his dad Saul did, he just said, I'll just follow the Lord and do whatever he has, whatever God has for me, that's where I'm at. And he says, the Bible says that Jonathan goes out one night and he visits David in the darkest time of his life, one of the hardest times in his life. And it says that he strengthened his hand in God. And Jonathan said this, he said, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knows. He said, my father knows this, but he won't admit it. He's against it. Yeah, I understand it. And he said, so much so that I know God's going to do what he has for you, and anything I can do to be a help to God, I will. And he served God. The point is that he stayed focused on the goal, no matter what their families did, right? There can be fame that can distract us. Now, most of y'all are going to say, well, I ain't famous, and I'm not going to. But how many times have we known of people to get a job promotion, opportunity to work some better hours or different hours, and all of a sudden those hours are going to take you away from church or move you to another town where you don't have a good church to go to and that sort of thing, and the decisions overrule what your real goal in life ought to be in serving Christ and honoring Him and living for Him. Moses had that happen to his life, didn't he? And he didn't have any real choice in the beginning, right? He was a baby and he got put in this situation, but the Bible says in Hebrews that by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And it says this, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Moses didn't let fame distract him, to get him away from his focus, to get him away from what he was supposed to be doing. Failure can get us away from God, can it? It can get us from our goal in serving the Lord. We're going to talk about what is our goal here in a minute, but it can be a distraction to us. We can get distraught. We can get discouraged. David dealt with failure in his life. You remember that he was running from Saul, and he'd gotten out and was really living with the enemy, and they came in and they take the entire group, all the women and children and all captive, and they come back and they're all gone. And he's trying to figure out, what in the world am I going to do? These men are distraught, they're furious, they're angry, they're crying. And the Bible says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. That's pretty good failure and pretty discouraging. And it says, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Because David did that, he was able to get an answer, and he actually got right with God and was able to follow through and live for the Lord and do what he was supposed to be doing. Fatigue can be a discouragement to us. The Bible says here in verse 1, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We can get discouraged and we can get upset when things happen, when just the weariness sometimes of ministry, not even so much that we're doing wrong things, just the day-to-day grind of all the things that went on. Right? Paul dealt with that, right? He says in 2 Corinthians, he lists out all the things that he's dealt with in his life. He said, I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. He says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice was I suffered shipwreck, a day and a night I've been in the deep. Right? That's pretty serious. There's nobody, I don't know if we've dealt with those kind of trials in ministry. It says, in journeys often, in perils of water, perils of robbers, perils of mine own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea, and perils amongst false brethren. He says this, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and besides all these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. He mentions that along, right along with all these other things, beatings and scourgings and all that. And he said, not if that weren't bad enough, just the day-to-day grind of trying to serve the Lord. And we can be discouraged, and we can get to a point where if we're not careful, we lose our focus, and we get our focus on ourselves, and we get into this little pity party. Next thing you know, you're moving on, or you're falling out. So what do? We need to determine that we're not, refuse to be distracted, right? And resolve to follow the right direction. Now, what is our right direction? The right pattern. John the Baptist followed the right pattern, right? John preached repentance and he preached humility. You remember John the Baptist pushed everybody from following him to following Christ. Paul followed the right pattern, right? He said, not as though I've attained. He said, but I follow after that. He said, I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Jesus, of Christ Jesus. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth in those things which are before, I press toward the mark, right? For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So what's the right direction? What's the right pattern? Well, number one, a repentant heart. That's always been God's pattern, hadn't it? In any way for us to get close to God, to be right with God, to have fellowship with God, there has to be a measure of what? Repentance. Right? The Bible says this. The Bible says, and I know y'all are looking like, where's he? He's not letting us read all these. We have plenty more verses. We're going to go there. In verse 2, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. For us to be right with God, for us to know what God's purpose is for our lives, to have the right focus in that, the goal set before us, right? We have to have a clean heart, a righteous, a repentant heart, right? We are to follow after the Lord in the right ways. The Bible says this, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy places with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. You know, repentance is a change of heart that leads to a change of mind. It's an attitude of, I want to turn to God. I want to get away from the things that are going on in my life, the sin that's in my life. I want forgiveness for that. And an attitude of not going back to that. Right? Letting God deal with it in our lives. Get it out of our life so that we can serve God, do what He has for us. Tied into that, two sides of the same coin, is a humble attitude. A repentant heart and a humble attitude. The Bible says this there in verse 1, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let me ask you this question, who are we to be following in the next verse? It says, looking unto Jesus, right, the author and finisher of our faith. As we begin to compare ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, we compare ourselves to all of these witnesses who are kind of cheering us on. When we look at them, I don't think very many of us really measure up, do we? It could be humbling, right? Paul said, not that I've attained, right? Lest we think we've attained, just take a look at who's went before us and the things that God's done in their lives, and it's very humbling, isn't it? But a person that's going to do anything for God, that's going to be used of God in any way, has to come to God with a humble heart, humble attitude. Right, the Bible says the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. And say to such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 51 says this, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. David was a tremendous sinner. He sinned a lot, you know, we are all sinners, but David did great things, really serious things in his life. But one thing anybody will ever learn that knows anything about David is he is also a great repenter. He knew how to to fall on his face before God and genuinely beg God's forgiveness and get right with God. You know, one thing that I've noticed as you read about different men and you follow after men that are examples and ladies, and the closer that a person gets to God and the more right they are with the Lord, the worse they feel about themselves. The greater the sinner they feel as they are. Everybody else is saying, man, I wish I could be like them. They're saying, oh, don't be like me. So we have to have a humble heart. The pattern to come before God. Before He can begin to show us what He has for our lives, we have to be right with Him. We have to have a humble attitude with Him. And we come before God and then He can begin to work in our lives. We can begin to follow that. Now, our focus, first of all, as we think about this, is there's some things that are the same for every single one of us as Christians. But then there's also some things that are different for every single one of us, right? Brother Larry, he's here somewhere. I thought I'd seen him. Maybe not. Brother Larry Anders, and he'll tell you that he knows without a doubt that he is called by God to preach, children, teach, and work with Children's Church. He's done it for 800 years. Not quite that long. Brother Lambertus is that way. He's taught 5-year-olds. You have to be called of God to teach 5-year-olds for, what, 43 years? At least. You have to be called of God to do that. God has a purpose and a plan and a focus for each one of our lives, goals that He wants us to meet in our life. But then there's also things that each and every one of us need to follow also. There's a pattern and a goal and a focus, a focal point, as it were, for each and every one of us. So number two, we need to not only follow God's pattern, but we need to find the right focal point in our lives. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ had a focal point, didn't He? If you ever think about what that joy is, it's honoring His Father, but it's also His reward, and that was us. And He was set like a flint to the cross. His face was set as a flint to the cross. He never turned back. He never went away. He despised the shame, the Bible says, but He did that for us. He was not turning back. The same way He faced His life, and the same way He led His life, is the way we're to follow. We're to look to Him as our example. Right? And so the first thing that we have to do, and I thought how this kind of goes along with our honoring God and building lives and reaching others, but really the main goal of us as Christians is to honor God. Outwardly, right? We're to act right, do right, dress right, talk right, all of those things, and inwardly. Because God knows our hearts, doesn't He? And He wants us to live for Him, so we have to honor Him in every area of our lives. We're to honor Him, and really, if we do letter B here, become more like Christ, then all the other things fall into place, don't they? The building of our lives and the helping to disciple folks and reaching others for Him and all of those things fall into place. How do we become like Christ? Through our, and it's very basic here, our daily sanctification. As we read His Word, we obey His Word, right? Our daily sanctification of God working in our lives. When we lose focus, what happens? We begin to live for self. We begin to think about our own goals and not what God has for our lives, whether it's in our family, our finances, our future and our career, whatever it is. When we lose focus, when we really forget that we're here, listen, we're not here. Are you there? Are you with me? Everybody's looking. I think everybody's looking at me. We're not here for fame and fortune. We're not here to build mansions. Right? Is there anything wrong with having money and being blessed, the Lord, to have a nice house? No. But that's not why we're here, are we? We're here for God. We're here to honor Him. We're here to become more and more like Him. The goal is to, you know, I think sometimes people think, well, I'm good because eventually He's going to change me anyway, so I ain't going to worry about it. No, we're supposed to worry about it. We're supposed to follow after Him. The Bible says He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one who began that work in us. And He's the one who's going to finish it. And we don't want to stand before Him someday without doing our best to try to be as He is. Living for Him day to day. In our sanctification and what He's doing in our lives and through our service. Our service reflects Him in our lives if we're living for Him. So we're to follow after Him. We're to find the right focal point in our lives. One, as we do this, you say, well, I would really like to know God's will for my life. I would really like to know what God has for me. You start to follow this pattern. You start to seek after what God has for you. And I promise you that He will not deny you. Right? The Bible says, God says, draw nigh to me and what? I will draw nigh to you. Jesus Christ said that He and His Father will come and make their abode with you, their home with you. Lots of times people will say, I would just do whatever. God, I wish God would send me to the mission field. I wish He would do something great with me. But yet, they don't tithe the way they ought to. They're not faithful to church the way they ought to be. And I understand this is a Wednesday night crowd. I'm preaching to the choir a little bit. I understand that. But they're saying that I would do great things for God and they won't live for Him today. You want God to show you what He has for your life? You want to know, guys, young people, you want to know what God's will is for your life? You do what He says for you to do today, and He'll show you what He has for tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next year, and 10 years down the road, and before you know it, you're finishing well. So we have to find the right focal point, and number three, we have to finish as God has planned in our lives. The Bible says that God is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one who has begun a work in us. Right? He says this in Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God began this work in you. And it's not about our good works or what we do, but it is about our submission to Him, isn't it? And allowing God to work in our lives. So, letter A, as we think about finishing as God planned, let God fine-tune your focus. What I mean by that is, let me give you a few things real quick here to think on. Deal with sin immediately in our lives. Keep a close relationship with Christ. And these aren't, this isn't new, but boy, we need to be reminded of some of these things. Stay faithful where God has placed you. Find a good church and be in it. One of the best things that ever happened in my family was simply that we decided to quit playing around and go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, no matter what happened. My kids didn't debate about it. On Wednesday night came or Sunday night came, there wasn't any, are we going to go? It was just kids get ready or, get in the car. We're going to church. What are you talking about? There was no questions, right? Stay faithful where God has placed you. God can't work in your life through His Word and through the preaching and the teaching and in Sunday school and in children's church and all that, if you're not there. Now, I know there's times we're sick and I know there's times we all need a vacation. I'm counting down to mine. I'm in the zone here now. But man, not everybody needs a vacation every other week. We need God to help us, don't we? Stay faithful. Serve with all your heart, right? Do everything as hard as you can go. Serve God. Determine to live for Him every day. Accept this is a good one. You ready? Even if I wrote it down. Accept the imperfections of life and the imperfections of others. Take that into account. Know it ahead of time and don't let it bother you when it comes to serving God. Just keep on moving along. Be surrendered to whatever God has planned for you. Just be surrendered to it. If whatever He tells you to do, you do that. Don't worry so much about what others are doing. Amen. Jesus told Peter, said, if I let John live forever, what's that to you? Go feed the sheep. He said, don't worry about this. We worry about what everybody else is doing, right? If Brother Eddie helps me every week at Children's Church, he's faithful. And if God decides He wants to bless Brother Eddie way, way more than me, what is that to me? Praise the Lord. And then just let God work in my life too. Man, if He blesses him really good and then I just get half of that, I'm still doing pretty good, right? Don't worry about what God does in everybody else's life. Worry about what God does in your life. We really do sometimes worry so much about correcting other people's lives that we don't correct our own, don't we? And don't take lightly the ministry God has given you. Don't hold that lightly. Yeah, I was telling Brother Scott some of the adventures of junior camp. Listen, Pastor Boy Hill's ahead of me, and this guy's ahead, but Pastor Boy Hill ain't ahead of me by much, because in August I'll be 50 also. And I went to junior camp. Now, I kind of like just sitting back and watching the things that go on, right? If you could just video that, you could probably make a lot of money just selling videos of all the things that go on at junior camp. And many times I'm there, and you've got young ones that it's their very first time, and they're worried and they're scared. Miss Heather, my wife, tells me that every year, I don't think I've had one year yet, that there's not one little girl who gets a little homesick, and they have to have the Mr. Vince time, Mr. Vince talk, go sit on the bench, sit on a tree stump, whatever, and I tell them, it's going to be all right, and you're going to be able to make it, and make a deal. You know, I made a deal with one little girl this week. If she made it to Thursday, she could call her mom and tell her, see you tomorrow, right? And we created a fist bump that was more powerful than a pinky promise, right? I spent the week showing some little boys how to do some things they had never done before, like pick up their clothes. No, I'm just kidding. You see all of these things. I have, not this year, I have had times where I spent 10 minutes showing little boys how to take their shirt and turn it wrong from the inside to the outside, then how to put it on. And you know, I've got two choices in that. I can say, man, I got to deal with this. It's driving me insane. Or I can say, you know what? I don't deserve to be a part of that. Somebody else could go there, and somebody else could be a part of those kids' lives, and somebody else could show those kids how to become godly young men and ladies, and they're going to get the blessings, and they're going to get what God has for them. But God gave it to me. And I need to be thankful for that and rejoice in that. See, that's my focus at that time in my Christian life. And God will bless you, and He'll help you. You know, I'm there, and sometimes we can get so entrenched in ministry, we can be doing good things, that we don't, if we're not careful, we don't see what God is doing. Just like tonight, we could have got really entrenched tonight, and it is heartbreaking of all the sickness and the death and the things that are going on and amongst families in our church. But then we could stop and praise the Lord that two folks got saved. I spent all week chasing little boys around, tell them to do this, do that. And the last night I got the privilege of leading one of them to Christ. And I can sit there and say, yeah. So don't take lightly the ministry God's placed you in, whatever that is. And let God finish what He began in your life. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is what? Set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He finished His work, and there's a work that there is to do. And He says this, for consider Him that endured such contradictions of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. If Christ can go through all of those things, He can help you get through your life. If Paul can go through all those things, and Jonathan and Ruth, all these folks can get through with God's help, so can we. In Acts 20, verse 24, Paul said this. He said, But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Christ will finish what He started in our lives. Paul said in Corinthians, he said this, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us also by Jesus and shall present us with you." He says down in verse 16, he says, "For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day." Verse 18, he says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You know, just a side note, and we're done. Christ, the Lord started to work in us. He's working in us daily. Our focus ought to be more like Him. To honor Him in our lives. To become more and more every single day like Christ. Whatever Christ has for me, that's what I want. However He wants me to be, that's the way I want to be. That's how I want to turn out, right? That's His purpose in our lives. In that comes the fruit of reaching out to others and winning people to Christ and teaching them about Him and all of those things. But our main purpose in every area of our lives is to honor Him and become more like Him. I was thinking of this even in our prayer life. We pray sometimes, so folks, and there's folks that are sitting in here that you are answers to prayer. We prayed for you for years and God saved you and now you're here. But I've thought times that we've prayed for certain folks that if they just get saved, man, it would be so much easier for them and their family life would be so much better and all of those things. And that's very distracted, isn't it? That's not the focus. The focus is that Jesus Christ be honored. Because really, He's the only one that can save anybody. And who's going to get the glory? Jesus Christ. But I want you to think about this tonight. Jesus Christ will finish the work in you. Some of us may not be where we ought to be when we see Him someday, and we won't be too rewarded the way we thought we ought to be, or we may be ashamed. But eventually, the Bible says we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Did you know, by the way, that when Satan comes along and he says, look at that sorry Scott Vernon, you know, and that Vince Keith, you know how they acted all week long? You know what they did? Jesus Christ doesn't join in on that. He says, no, that's my perfect, sinless bride. He's mine. Now you think on that tonight, when it really hits you, you'll be up for a while, that Jesus Christ sees us as we are in Him, not what we are right now. Praise the Lord, right? And that's our focus. That's our goal in life. So I ask you tonight, what are we focused on? Are you being distracted right now by family and career and things? And are you focused in on what God has for you? Where's your focus tonight? And if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, then He hasn't been able to start the work in you. But you can know Him. He can work in your life. He'll change you. I promise you without one doubt, my hand on the Bible, that if you receive Jesus Christ tonight, you will absolutely never regret it. It will be the best thing you ever done in all of eternity. And I'd never, ever have to back down on that promise. I asked a little boy this week, and it's fine, he didn't say anything. But he thought about it for a long time, about salvation. He finally got saved. And I asked him, I said, "Buddy, what you been thinking about it?" "Yeah." "Long time, right?" "Yes, sir." I said, "What were you waiting on?" And he said this, and I appreciate that he wanted to really understand
before he met, but he said, I just wanted to make the right decision. I said, well, son, you did. So make the right decision tonight. There's nothing in this world has to offer that Jesus can't top. Can't do a million times better. What are you waiting for? And where's your focus? Let's pray.